Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of May 6th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hi.
And we got a ton of stuff to get into, so we're going to get right into it with news. And first up, a couple big trailers came out this week. First up, we got the first trailer. I think it might have been like a couple teasers or something, but this is like definitely like the first full trailer for it. Is the trailer for The World's End, which is at last the final piece of the Cornetto trilogy from Edgar Wright, Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, including the Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and now it's The World's End. and it's their looks like their take their like parody slash loving tribute to End of the World slash Alien Invasion movies. And basically what it is, like, it's these five friends who are heading back to their hometown because they're trying to complete this challenge of going to 12 different pubs and drinking a pint from each pub. And they never completed it as kids, so they're going back to their hometown trying to do it as adults. And they get back to their hometown and they're just aliens, or like body snatchers or aliens or something weird is happening in their hometown. So, Chris, what did you think of the trailer?
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I got hyped up. I kind of want to go do a pub crawl myself. But
I'm sure there'll be plenty of before the movie comes out.
Oh, I just wish there was like 12 bars easily accessible like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got excited.
Manhattan, we'll get a hotel room.
Yeah. Well, we need one at like the finishing line, so we just like throw up in. But yeah, it's I always love the premises of these movies where they're like simple, but they're always like complicated, like layers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And with the trailer, they kind of hinted at Alien Invasion, which is great because it wasn't like in your face, like, and there's aliens. It's kind of like this big setup of like, these people want to do this. And then it's like, and they'll try it again. And then out of nowhere, aliens.
But yeah, it looks like there's a whole bunch of other weirdness going on. There's like that weird, like maybe like Stepford Wives sort of thing going on, like in that weird club.
I could tell that's just more of the aliens, or because the town is just weird now. Like,
yeah,
it
seems like they might be getting like body snatched or something.
I like how vague it is. Like, mm-hmm. The more I know, the more I'm like gonna be less surprised. So I'm kind of happy. Just like this is all I need to know.
But, like they kind of did that with the Hot Fuzz too, where like they didn't really do anything with like the crazy like town conspiracy stuff. It's just,
right.
Like, crazy action. We're doing it's like a Michael Bay movie, but smart and awesome.
Which I'm fine with, because then if they try to explain shit, I get the Iron Man 3, like, epic fight burning in my face. So I'm like, come on, where's that scene?
Well, that's what you always do, Chris. You always nitpick everything.
I nitpick. And
your damn logic brain.
Well, it's because I fucking, like, it's just, like, I inherently know, like, plots from trailers too well. So I don't want to think. I'm interested already, so it's done its job.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be up to the same level as, like, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. Because they have not done anything bad.
No.
Spaced, awesome. I mean, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg weren't involved with it, but Scott Pilgrim was awesome. What'd you think of the trailer, yo?
Man, I'm with Chris. I'm psyched. I mean, I love all of their stuff. I really do. So this, you know, if it's closing out the trilogy, I don't know if we're going to see how it all kind of loosely fits together, if there are nods,
the only way they lose is, like, someone eats ice cream at one point.
Right. Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, you never know, like, if they're going to throw any, like, zingers or anything like that at us, any Easter eggs.
Well, actually, the one thing that is, they always have, like, a fence gag, too.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really know what else to say other than it looks great. And I'm very excited.
Let me ask you,
does Paul count is like
it's
they didn't
not Edgar really, Wright's but not I still really yeah. liked it. If that
yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, I really did like it a lot. I just don't see it as, like, their movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, Paul was really awesome.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about, like the this is the end, the world's end showdown?
I think it's becoming more and more common as of late. I mean, really, the only showdowns they used to have are, like, you know, slasher movies or, like, you know, to a lesser degree, like, possession movies and stuff like that. But, you know, as of late, it's not really just in horror, although you certainly do have a fair share of, like, competition going on there. But, you know, it definitely is, like, there's a lot less shame involved with putting out, like, copycats. I think the most blatant and sort of upsetting example being Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's I guess the most glaring and most you know, recent example. But you know, this I would say I don't know. I did
like
think
if,
it's
like if you guys like if you had a chance to see like one right now, which one would you want to see?
Oh man. Honestly, I'd probably want to see This Is the End. And I just say that because it looks like such a shit show. Like, it looks like such an absolutely bananas movie that you're probably going to be quoting for, like, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's going to be some absolutely filthy, horrid shit going on in that movie that they just couldn't even show in a Red Band trailer.
That one definitely feels like it could be this year's, like, Ted.
Yes.
Like, because there's always, like, the big
absolutely.
R-rated summer comedy that, like, blows up, and that's probably going to be that one.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Because all the other ones just look, like, really, like, mediocre. Like, The Heat and The Internship and a bunch of other...
Yeah. Yeah, The Internship looks like it could be funny, but it probably won't be that great.
I feel like that's going to have, like, jokes from, like, 5 years ago that people else, like, whoever wrote that movie, like... Like jokes that we, like, all the internet nerds were making, like, 5 years ago about, like, Google and all this other stuff.
Right, right.
Like, I'm sure there'd be, like, a, I'm feeling lucky joke or something.
Ha. Ha ha.
But yeah, definitely excited for World's End. And then the other trailer that came out this week was the trailer for, the first trailer for Ender's Game, which is the big, finally getting, the sci-fi, like, considered by many a classic sci-fi novel, finally getting adapted to a movie this year. Starring a bunch of people. You got, like, Harrison Ford, you got Ben Kingsley, you got Asa Butterfield from Hugo, you got Haley Steinfeld from True Grit, Abigail Breslin, and basically what's going on with this one is that there was a alien invasion, and humanity basically barely fought off the aliens, and now they're training kids in, like, this new, like, super hardcore, like, training center to, like, fight off the aliens if they come back. Trying to find, like, who could be, like, their, like, I guess, like, the whole thing is, like, Ben Kingsley's character sort of, like, was, like, the hero of the last war, and trying to, like, find a person who's, like, as good a commander as he was. And...
Which I'm fine with, because, like, I didn't know about, like, Ender... Like, I knew Halo before Ender's Game. And when you read Ender's Game, it's like, oh.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you, have you guys either read Ender's Game?
Yeah, I did, like, when I was in middle school. And I wasn't really a huge fan, but I think it can make an awesome movie.
Mm-hmm. Is it... Because I heard a lot of people saying, like, it's, like, this trailer makes it seem, like, way more action-packed than the book actually is.
Yes, yes,
like, is this,
sure.
Is it, like, a Starship Troopers sort of situation where, like, the novel's, like... There is no action whatsoever in that book.
It's probably. Yeah, it's more philosophy of, like, is the...
Because, like... Yeah, all... Basically, everything... All the Starship Troopers, the book, is, like, all just, like, philosophizing about war, and, like, what is the cost of war, and, like, why are we fighting war?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, do the parts justify the means, or something like that.
Yeah, and going, like... It's all, like... Basically, like, the entire book is, like... The part, like, in the movie where, like, they're, like, in class with Michael Ironside talking about, like, the war.
Yeah, that's it's that for, like, 100 pages.
Yep.
And then out of nowhere, they fight bugs.
Mm-hmm. I definitely heard, like, a lot more, like, that's what Ender's Game, the book, actually is, like, they're in class learning about war and a lot of simulations of stuff, like training stuff.
A lot of them trying to figure out hormones and puberty.
Yeah.
I kind of want to love instead of fight. So. It's
hormones. Woo!
Yeah, it's kind of like if they were trying to be less robotic, but I get they were super soldiers, so they try not they try to be they want the kids to grow up normally, but in a situation like this, I kind of don't want my super soldier to start having feelings.
Well, it seems like they're trying to turn them into super clinical military people. Cause, I guess the whole war it's not really frontline infantry anymore. It's you're commanding, launching missiles, you're in charge of launching missiles from this ship that will go across the entire galaxy and blow stuff up.
Right.
Right. Which, I'm fine with if my freaking super soldier guy is just kind of robotic, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't soldier. Soldier bit a chunk out of Ender's Game. And so look what happened to Soldier, where it's kind of look at Todd, he's trying to have feelings. You're no. So.
Agreed.
One thing that's kind of weird about Trailer 2 that I thought was it seems it's definitely trying to sort of compete head-to-head with Catching Fire, because they're about to come out the same month. So it seems it's trying to pull some of the Hunger Games crowd in of hey, look, it's kids battling each other. It's futuristic kid movie, too, and they're battling each other. We have the same font as Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, doesn't the kids they don't fight other kids, though.
I mean, I'm sure they have, training matches to, get their, sparring matches or something. That's part of the training.
Probs.
I mean, it's not, it's, the concept is coming out, they're both completely different things. It's just marketing wise, they seem to try to push it to be hey, you like Hunger Games? Here's Ender's Game.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's coming out November 1st. So I think Catching Fire comes out a week or two afterwards. So for that Thanksgiving holiday rush of movies,
it's kids take your girlfriend on a date night.
Yeah.
He says, I love you, then, watching Kid Gladiators.
Fighting future wars.
Future wars.
So, moving on to other news from this past week. We learned... hopefully this is more concrete than everyone, but I think we finally have sort of a more concrete selection for who could possibly be playing The Crow in The Crow reboot. And... it seems like right now it's going to be Luke Evans,
who correct.
Is going to be the bad guy of Fast and Furious 6. He was also in Immortals and The Raven and a bunch of other stuff.
And
yes, he was.
I don't know. You guys are more hardcore pro fans than me. So what are your thoughts
on
it?
Yeah, man, I see it. I could definitely see it. You know, and Luke Evans actually had a quote about it that came out today, actually, talking about taking on the role and saying that he is playing Eric Draven and that the script is, by and large, going to be very recognizable to people, that they're updating certain aspects of it and modernizing it and adding some shit to it, which is fine. But, you know, pretty much it's still the same core story. Which is great, because as cliched as it might be, I think it's one of the better examples of that love revenge sort of things with a healthy dose of zombification and drugs and rock and roll thrown in it. But I could definitely see Luke Evans, you know, making that sort of Brandon Lee-esque transformation as Eric Draven, from being kind of this head in the clouds artist. Who, they never really say that he thinks that nothing bad could ever happen to him. You know what I mean? But, he also, is a sort of carefree musician who's, super in love. And he lives in this, kind of hipster-ish apartment that's, really shitty and, like at the top of some really old gothic building in like shit fuck Detroit or like wherever they are. So it's kind of like, oh, nothing bad will ever happen to us. And then his fiance is like raped and killed and he's thrown out a goddamn like 80th story window. So it's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty fast transformation that he makes from that to like emo zombie to like avenging angel of death. So I could definitely see Luke Evans being able to pull that off because, you know, I think that he has the range to do it. But I also believe, like, you know, if they show him, like, throwing bitches out windows or, like, shooting guns, like, it looks kind of believable. I think to have, like, you know, Professor X or whatever doing doing that, I wasn't really going to be on board. And even Bradley Cooper, I think, would have been slightly less believable as well as they had originally intended, let alone Loki, which I think everyone would have been too distracted by. Oh, hey, it's Loki. It's fucking Loki. And, like, I don't know, not to take anything away from old Tom, but, like, it just seems to me like, I don't know, he just has, like, that villain face, you know? And I know that's a horrible thing to say, but, like, now that he's been Loki in, what, like, officially three of the movies, you know, I just think that him being anything other than a villain, which he's great at being, by the way, is gonna be kind of hard for me to get on board. You know, like, not that it won't ever happen, but it's just gonna have to be something, like, really good for me to be like, oh, okay, I guess I could put that behind you.
I want to see a trailer, you know, like, I just want to see with him with the makeup.
Yeah, I mean, I would be, I'd be really curious to see what sort of changes they make to it. Because I know that the movie took some liberties from James O'Barr's, Crow comics, you know, and like, for as much as people shit all over the sequels, you have to realize that the Crow comic, like, dealt with some weird shit. I mean, I remember getting the Crow comics when I was little, like, after seeing the first Crow and not even being like 10, and be like, oh yeah, this is just like the movie, this is gonna be awesome, and then I was like, whoa. Like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, they deal with, like, some weird, like, time travel type shit and, like, alternate worlds. Like, not in a, like, weird, like, Marvel kind of way. And I mean weird in a good way, but not, like, to that extent. Or, like, how DC would have, like, Earth 2, Earth 87. But certainly stuff like, oh, this Crow, like, this Native American spirit or whatever has, like, chosen other people before. How about you meet this guy and, like, see what he did? It's like, whoa, this is getting to be a little bit too much for one movie.
And also, this story of revenge takes place, like, over a few years, too.
Well, yeah, in the movie, it's a year-long thing.
In the movie? He's just,
yeah, in the movie, it doesn't, he comes back, like, a year later.
A year later, yeah. Well,
right, saying, he comes back, like, a year later, and then he doesn't do it all in, like, one night. Like, don't forget, he walks around like fucking Frankenstein for a while, just like, ugh, sad, sorrow. And he, like, saves a couple of hookers, you know, lights some black dudes on fire, like, he does a whole bunch of shit.
I always assumed it was, like, within, like, 4 days where he starts doing
things. Yeah. Listen, I, you know, misspoke when I said that, it, like, his sort of, like, reign of terror or whatever, his reign of vengeance, like, takes place over a year. I just meant
whole narrative. I know he comes back a year later because it's like an anniversary, and it's like, I'm
happy
back,
anniversary. Remember when your fiance was raped and murdered?
And then a Ghostbuster was there to watch it all, and he never got promoted.
And then you took the express elevator to fucking hell. Yeah. That must have been cool.
It would have been funny if, like, if a Spawn and a Crow was debating about whose soul to choose, and it was like, he could have been Spawn, or he could have been the Crow.
Yeah, someone definitely got the better deal. I think Al Simmons definitely got the better deal there. Get to come back as this badass, like, black ninja slash Venom, who's got, like, chains and Uzis and Hellfire and shit. And then the other one, well, he's got makeup and songs, and he can't be hurt. Yeah, and he can't be hurt.
My problem is why do they always go back to the first story? Why Eric Draven again? They could have done something different.
Guess what's recognizable, Chris?
What?
It's the most recognizable one.
Yeah, it's the most recognizable one, and I think that this is more, at least from like a movie-making perspective, I think this is more of a remake of The Crow than it is a reboot of the Crow franchise as an adaptation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more of like when they remade A Nightmare on Elm Street, and they're like, yeah, we have, we have like a Rorschach or whatever, like signed on to be Freddy Krueger for two more movies after this. And then they saw it and saw the reaction, and they were like, well, that's not fucking happening.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like they have the option to kind of go forward with it, but it's more like an experiment, like, hey, what would happen if we just remade the first Nightmare on Elm Street? So I think that that's definitely what they're doing with this, unless, who knows, they might lay the groundwork like for a bigger sort of like Crow universe, because, you know, because of Marvel, like, universes now in comic adaptations are like so hot right now. They're like the fucking Hansel of like comic book movies. So it's kind of like, you know, it's fine with me, and I hope DC does it, and I wouldn't even be upset at The Crow doing it and maybe having the sequel not be like the continued sorrowful adventures of Eric Draven, but having it be like, hey, this is the next spirit that The Crow shows, which is what they did with the original series too, but none of them were really linked to each other.
The second one, it was just another Crow, because then, like, the
right.
Shelley, like, becomes, like, a weird fortune teller.
Shelley!
And then she died because she was incompetent.
Yeah. And Iggy Pop was there, too, so that was something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. But as far as the casting goes, I mean, I'm on board. And the director's apparently, like, a super badass. So I'm hoping that, like, it's going to be really disturbing. Because, Jesus Christ, the first time you see The Crow, or even when you see it after having not seen it in a while, like, it's a really fucking brutal movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really depressing. And, like, you kind of – and credit to Brandon Lee, rest in peace. But, like, you really kind of, like, at his lowest points, like, you really feel his anguish and, like, how much it sucks to be him. And then at other times, you kind of see how he's, like, this fucking, like, avenging angel. Like, even when he, like, takes the heroin out of the hooker's veins and stuff like that, like, that's a really powerful scene, man. Like, as weird as it is, and as weird as Funboy and the other villains are, like, it's definitely dated, so there's stuff they need to rework a little bit. I don't know why I'm feeling this, but I just think it would be awesome to have Eric Roberts in it as some sort of badass villain.
Oh my god, yes.
I don't really know why, like, why this is coming to me, but I just feel like that would fit, like, really, really well.
Because you probably want to see him get thrown off a building or something.
I love Eric Roberts. I don't want to see him get thrown off a building.
None of this works without me.
Yeah.
I'm bringing all the money in.
Pretty much.
And then the Crows, like, fight some, like, weird, like, South American dictator.
Yes, and it would only be made better if Mickey Rourke plays the original Crow, who came before Eric Draven, and is like, hey, one time I saw this woman on a bridge.
And he's like a cowboy or something.
Yeah, oh man, the Skull Cowboy. If you guys really want to fucking scratch your heads at how things got close to being made, YouTube, if it's on there, if it hasn't been taken down... but they're just search like The Crow and Skull Cowboy. Good God Almighty. This was probably one of the most retarded things in the history of cinema. It was basically like, you know, the imagery or whatever, like the unspoken narrative of the bird, of the actual crow kind of guiding Eric Draven from like place to place, from the crime scene to like where these gang members and criminals and stuff are. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be a genius to figure out what's happening. Oh, the crow, this person, this, you know, being that brought back his spirit from the dead is now guiding him on his mission. Okay, cool. Show me. Well, they apparently thought that we were so dumb that they're like, hey, let's get a skeleton who's dressed kind of like Zorro to show up at random points throughout the movie with no explanation or backstory and kind of say like, hey, you're going to fail. And then he shows up later and is like, hey, you proved me wrong. Like, it's and just he's, so bizarre.
He's like, I saw that in Ghost Rider.
Yeah, Sam Elliott.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. That might actually be where they got it from. But it's up there with, like, famous deleted movies of cherished movies of mine, like along with the It Isn't Halloween deleted scene from the first Michael Keaton Batman. That was just so stupid.
Hey, actually, speaking of Ghost Rider, next bit of news from this week, especially it was from last week, but we talked about how Daredevil's back at Marvel Studios.
The man without sight.
And, I mean, sure. Yeah, both.
Yeah.
But yeah, so last week we actually learned that Ghost Rider and Blade are back at Marvel Studios too now.
Yay!
Yes. Might happen
other things now.
Hey, here's a wacky idea. Why don't we make a Marvel Knights brand of Marvel Studios?
Did they try to do that?
They did it with Punisher Warzone.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys,
Wasn't Spirit of Vengeance labeled Marvel Knights too?
You know, it might have been. I try to block that movie out as much as humanly possible. But even if it's not like creating it or whatever, I'm just wrong there, excuse me. But let's further it a little bit. Like let's advance it. Like the NAACP, you know? Like it's not good enough that it exists. It has to be doing shit. So let's do that for Marvel Knights. Like let's get Daredevil in there with a mature movie where a guy's doing a line of coke through a straw and he steps on the back of his fucking skull. You know what I mean? Like let's see that. And then let's see a Punisher movie down the line and Ghost Rider where there's blood and titties and action.
Whoa.
Anyone else hard?
Hard for Marvel?
Yeah. Got a Marvel-rection.
A Marv-rection?
Yes.
I'm excited. I kind of wish they did this, like, as soon as, it's a gritty, like Marvel kind of copies DC and DC copies Marvel?
No.
Wow, I'm just saying. DC, like, for example, did DC ever do, like, a violent DC character yet that's kind of like the Punisher where he goes around just murdering people?
Any Frank Miller incarnation of Batman.
Well, I'm saying, like...
Pretty much.
I'm saying for movie-wise.
Movie-wise?
No, not really.
No.
No Deathstroke or no, like...
No. Closest they came was, not doing Lobo.
Yeah.
That's the closest we would have gotten. Right.
I would argue that the bloodiest and possibly profitable Marvel movie that they kind of say it's Marvel now was Blade.
Yep. Yeah,
like, man. You think about it, Blade was bloody. Like, the opening shower scene, like, I can't forget that.
That's still one of my favorite opening scenes in any comic book movie.
Yep. Right. And the best part's like, why don't you just do something to that level of Punisher again? And they just can't. Like, every time they try to, it's always like a financial ruin.
Well, here's the thing. It's not that they can't. Now it's that they won't. So I totally agree with them giving Doctor Strange a movie and Ant-Man a movie and, you know, hopefully Black Panther and, some other, you know, deeper roster players of Marvel, you know, giving them their, you know, day in court, so to speak, and letting the fans decide by, you know, spending money at the box office and DVD sales and stuff, if there's anything to a sequel or if they could just move forward being, like, supporting characters or alluded to in the greater Marvel universe, blah, blah, blah. So I understand that they're not necessarily jumping at the idea of giving the Punisher his own movie right now or Daredevil his own movie right now. But by that same token, like, you're developing Blade? We've had three of those. Like, why do we need that now? And on another level, where does he fit in the, like, Avengers era of Marvel cinema?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think you could throw Blade into that mix. So that would kind of go with our, like, theory or, you know, loving sort of request that they further the Marvel Knights brand. Because I could absolutely, while I can't see Ghost Rider or Punisher or Daredevil necessarily crossing paths with the Avengers or Hulk, you know, like Hulk, Cap, those people, I could certainly see Daredevil showing up in a Punisher movie and vice versa, or Blade showing up in a Ghost Rider movie, or here's a fucking crazy idea. Why don't you make them team up? they don't need to be a super team, but why don't you have a Blade and Ghost Rider crossover movie?
Weren't they part of a super team, though?
Yeah, Sons of something.
Absolutely. Yeah, Sons of Darkness or like something, or it's like some...
Absolutely, they were. But, like, what I'm saying is you don't even need to go to that level where it's, like, an ensemble movie. Like, you could just have, like, what they wanted to do when they were developing a World's Finest movie and then a Superman vs. Batman movie. Like, we know that the ensemble movie works, so what's to say that just the sort of scaled-down crossover movie wouldn't be a success? And here's another thing for you to consider. It doesn't have to have the fucking budget that Avengers had.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making a Punisher movie or a Daredevil movie or a crossover movie between the two, you don't really need that big of a budget. You really don't, because for it to be good and for it to work, it just has to have good writing, competent actors, and, like, a director who gets it, you know, and make it, like, to use that fucking cliched term again, make it gritty, make it realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make it feel like a dirty grindhouse action movie. That doesn't cost a lot. So basically, you know it's going to make back its money just because it's a Marvel movie. But does it really need to make $1 billion? Like, not every Marvel movie needs to, like, do better than the Avengers, you dig?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But from a business standpoint, that's how they're thinking.
Every movie's going to one-up the other one.
Pretty much. And, like, I get it. Like, they're owned by Disney. Like, they're a huge corporation. And nothing against Disney. Nothing even against Marvel. I just get that in the business world, like, if you're not doing better than last quarter, like, it's going to look bad to the shareholders and all that stuff. But by that same token, like, when you're dealing with creative licenses like this, and when you're dealing with really what comes down to it, you know, art and literature, like, can you really value it with money, sir? What is the worth of the legacy of these characters? Can you measure it in dollars and cents? The answer is yes.
Yes, quite, but...
Yes, you can measure it, but I'd rather they didn't.
You know, at the very least, I think those, like, Ghost Rider and Blade could, like, easily get, like, episodes of, like, the S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Like, the Blade episode pretty much writes itself, where, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. has to, like, go investigate this, like, there's, like, reports of vampires, and they should go out there, and then, like, Blade shows up.
Dude, if they had any balls, that's the pilot. Think about it. You got vampires, so girls are gonna watch.
Yep.
Got Blade, so, like, I hate to say it, but the BET crowd is going to watch.
It's Joss Whedon, know? So Buffy.
So everyone's going to watch. Yeah, exactly. And that could be fun as hell, too. Especially if you're dealing with, like, Coulson, like, training rookies or something in that capacity.
Yeah.
Like, rookies could be, like, vampires. And he's like, yep. Just, like, not even, like, you know, blinking, like, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Dracula vampires. Yep, vampires. Okay. This is weird, you know? Stuff like that. It would be good for the whole family, man.
And Blade comes in and calls someone a suckhead and then kills someone.
Yes. Sticks an Uzi in their mouth.
Yeah.
Fills their head full of silver bullets.
It's open season and all suckheads.
Yeah.
Oh my god. What is, like, I always try to remember, like, the, his, like, final, like, one-liner when he kills, Steven Dorff.
Oh, because something you're some, always some, up skating
some,
uphill.
Yeah, some motherfuckers always trying to skate uphill or something.
Yeah.
I skate uphill or something? I don't know. It's like the most, like, where does they, like, the most random one-liner of all time.
I have no idea, but I laughed my, like, 11-year-old dick off in the theater when he said that.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, it's hopefully we'll see something from either of those two properties sometime soon from Marvel.
Yeah, and hopefully they get more stuff coming in.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't think they're ever going to let go of Spider-Man anytime soon. I could really do without the Fantastic Four, to be completely honest with you two and all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean...
Well, I mean,
bring
I
it
don't...
on. Bring it on home.
I mean, it's Spider-Man, X-Men, and Fantastic Four, like the big ones. And then I don't know...
Yeah.
I don't really know, like, who has, like... Because what other movies, like, came out, like, with, like, the sort of, like... Like, Elektra is, like, the only one I can think of that, like, maybe go back to Marvel.
You could keep Elektra. That's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
Because, like, it's, like, X-Men is, like, every single X-Men character is tied to that, so.
Yeah, that one hurts a little bit.
And, like, Fantastic Four, it's, like, Fantastic Four plus Skrulls plus Galactus plus...
Yeah. Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I still hold out that one day, while we still have these actors, or at least while we still have Hugh Jackman for Wolverine, I just want to see an Avengers and X-Men crossover.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Well, actually, it might, I mean, they might try to be trying to work toward that, because they're going to, like, there's like, the whole reports of, like, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Who are mutants, who are the children of Magneto, so.
This is true. But yeah, I mean, as far as I know, they're still writing that.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much I'd put into those rumors. Mm-hmm. As awesome as that would be, don't get me wrong. I hope that's true.
All right, so moving on to other news. Jurassic Park 4 probably ran into some problems, according to a report today. It's being, like, it's, apparently Universal said it's delayed indefinitely, so. And I think the director was, like, tweeting out, like, he was, like, they're doing, like, location scouts and stuff, like, a couple weeks ago, in, like, Hawaii, so.
Yeah.
It was kind of like it was on track.
It, it looked great, too. Like, they were there, man.
Yep.
They were, it was happening.
Issa Nublar.
Yes.
That was gonna be another, like, that was gonna be another thing, too. Like, they're gonna actually, they were gonna go back to the original island. And not have it be, like, Site B, like, the last two movies.
Yeah.
I did like how in the third movie we got to see more of Site B that was, like, crazy expansive, and we're like, oh man, they missed a lot of good shots.
Yeah, yeah, like where, like, how did Ian Malcolm and them, like, miss, like, the giant pterodactyl cage,
or yep, the or the like seaport Spinosaurus area? Yeah, like, you had, like, over 50 people there with equipment setting up base camp, and you never ran into one Spinosaurus.
Yeah, or pterodactyls.
Weird.
But yeah, so who knows if Jurassic Park 4 will even come up now. I'm, it, like, it was, I think they were shooting for, like, a late 2014 release. Mm-hmm. Like, early, yeah, so that's probably not going to happen now. But
I mean, the release, the official statement that came out, you know, it has me a little bit hopeful, at least, in the situation, because they're saying, like, they're fully committed to giving this movie, like, everything it needs to be, like, you know, the movie that they want it to be, like, and for fans also. Like, I don't know how much of that is just, like, PR bullshit, but I kind of hope that that's true. I mean, I really hope that that's true, even though I know better than to believe anything that, like, movie studios say in a public release. So, yeah, I mean, I know that some of the cast and crew were tweeting out things like, Hollywood makes and then shatters dreams. Rest in peace, Jurassic Park 4. And then it was, like, removed from Twitter. Like, it's really kind of weird. But yeah. Enid Cool, they had some screen caps of, like, Jurassic 4 crew that were getting really emotional about it. So I don't know. Maybe there is something that, like, we don't know about, where it's more of a, like, yeah, it's delayed indefinitely, but the subtext is really, like, this movie needs to get its shit together, or it's not fucking happening, and you're all going home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not like they were, like, in production of everyone on an island, and, like, they were setting up dinosaurs, so...
No,
but they did have sets being built, and, like, fucking, like, I guess dinosaur sounds being engineered somewhere in some dude's garage in, like, Encino.
New dinosaurs being created.
God.
Yes.
You know, it would have been funny if, like, they were actually making that weird half dinosaur, half man puppet, and they were just like,
yeah,
oh,
production's over.
Whereas, like, raptors with guns.
Oh my
yes.
God.
Because they're doing, like, human dinosaur hybrids. It's like some evil corporation.
Let's do half raptor, half cyborg.
Yes.
Techno dinos.
Mm-hmm. So, X-Men news, Shane Black, who is hot off Iron Man 3, is one of his next projects might be a Doc Savage movie. So Doc Savage is, like, a super classic pulp superhero, like, up with, like, Phantom and, like, The Shadow and all those other, like, pulp heroes. I guess Shane Black...
Archie.
He was Shane Black was trying to get this Doc Savage movie made, like, years ago, and now that he has, like, this, like, hey, I just made a $1 billion movie. I guess it's like getting like put it back on like the front burner for a bunch of studios. So, I don't know, have you guys read any Doc Savage or seen any Doc Savage stuff?
Yeah, it's a little bit dated, obviously, but I mean, it could be updated and like made for modern audiences, I guess.
Just like everything, like it reminds me of like all those like insane like men's magazines that you see all over the place of like, yeah, like the 1950s or whatever, like guys like they're like fighting like swarms of like weasels or something, or like punching a bear in the face,
or fighting some sort of like native people.
Yeah, like that was like all that was like,
savages like, everywhere.
Yeah, that was like Doc. He was like super. He's like kind of like super jacked, like Indiana Jones. Like he's always like going like exploring lost civilizations, but he's also like.
A brilliant doctor.
Yeah.
And, like, physician and scientist.
But also, like, super strong, invulnerable. Like, he just, like, every possible superpower you could possibly think of, like, he had.
Yeah, probably, like, the guy in this world who you would want your girlfriend to have fucked the least.
Mm-hmm.
Out of any man on the planet, you know?
He was like,
but Michael Uslan is producing, so there's hope for that. But mm-hmm. He was also involved with The Spirit, so take that for what you will. Yeah, but he was also involved in every single Batman movie to date, so there's that too.
Yeah.
But that at least tells me that it's got, like, for him to get involved, like, it at least has to be a good idea from the offset. You know, like, this is a person who reads the comics and knows what the character's about mm-hmm. and knows arguably what the movie should be. So I don't think he's like, I don't think anyone went to him with a gun to his head and was like, give me money, produce this thing. I think it was more like, hey, that actually sounds like in line with what I have to say about the character. So mm-hmm. Here is a check.
I think we also need to like sort of like the Rocketeer style or like the Mummy style where it's like super like intentionally cheesy, intentionally like super pulpy.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I think he's got a great, like, or that would be a great match for the character.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so that's hopefully coming sometime soon. And then, actually, sad bit of news from earlier this week. Hollywood legend passed away. Ray Harryhausen, who is, like, special effects, like, god, basically. Like, and specifically, like, stop motion. Like, pretty much every stop-motion character you can possibly think of, like, Ray Harryhausen made it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably most notably it was, like, the Kraken from the original Clash of Titans, along with, like, everything from Clash of Titans. And then, like, Jason Argonauts, like, the skeletons in that movie and everything. The original Mighty Joe Young. So, yeah, just a ton of stuff that he made. And it's actually, I think I put it on our Tumblr today, today being Wednesday, but it's actually, someone made a video of, like, every single creature he's ever made in, like, one YouTube montage, so that's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
Check that out. And it's, like, in chronological order, too, so that's pretty, like, it goes from, like, Mighty Joe Young to, like, Clash of Titans. Clash of Titans was, like, his last movie that he did. I don't know, you guys fans of the original Clash of Titans?
Hey, man, he did so much for, like, effects,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, it's always sad when you lose an icon like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the circle of life.
I mean, I appreciate the classics. I always like the stop motion in those movies. I always feel, like, smart for, like, liking those, you know? I can point them out to people, like, who don't know movies or, like, classic monster movies, and like, yes, that was Ray Harryhausen. Mm. He did the skeleton fight here.
Yep.
That's right. I spent 20 minutes YouTubing that. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nice. His work, you know, it's going to be tested. I imagine like 20 years from now, we talk about Harryhausen, we'll be like, oh, do you remember this like weird skeleton fight that he did by hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
With no computers?
No computers. He stayed up, like, two nights, moving clay 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know, like, I didn't really meet the guy, so...
Okay, yeah. Oh, you didn't have coffee with him every weekend?
Oh, man. My weekend of Harryhausen.
Your Sunday night Skypes with the gentleman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Tuesdays with Maury, but it's like Sundays with Ray.
Sundays with Ray.
Yeah, but anyway, so RIP to Ray Harryhausen.
Yes.
Classic legend. And so, last bit of news.
In the Everything Action Hall of Justice, he will remain.
Mm-hmm. So, last bit of news for this week is that we learned that Tom Cruise is going to be back for Mission Impossible 5. Which,
yep.
Not the, I mean, I don't know. I mean, everybody told me no at this point, but, like, that's good. Ghost Protocol was amazing, so.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And I believe they're talking about, Christopher McQuarrie directing, who directed Jack Reacher.
Oh, God. It's going to be Jack Reacher all over again.
Yeah. No, pretty much. Pretty much, because he's just into, like, making Tom Cruise look awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what's he going to do? Like, he's already climbed the world's tallest building, so I don't know what could he possibly do in Mission Impossible 5.
Do the opposite. Fall down the world's biggest hole.
Like, dive into, like, the Marianas Trench or whatever. Like, go to the deepest point of the ocean. Like, Tom Cruise and James Cameron will, like, go to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That'd be fun. I'd watch that.
I kind of hope, like, for the team, I hope it's, like, Tom Cruise, Jeremy Renner, Simon Pegg, and Ving Rhames.
Wasn't Jeremy Renner supposed to take over?
He would take over if, like, Tom Cruise didn't come back. So I don't know if he'd be back, if he'll be back for, like, Mission Impossible 5. But, I don't know. It could be a whole new team. Who knows?
Well, time will tell, but, I'm glad they're doing another.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm glad Tom Cruise is, I mean, it would be kind of wrong to not have him in it. Or at the very least, I would be less excited about it.
Yeah. Can't Mission Impossible about Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, really. We don't need that.
Yeah, so anyway, so speaking of Tom Cruise, let's get into the news roundup. And our pick of the week is Jack Reacher.
Hey-o.
Oh, Chris, you and I saw that, and it was a... definitely super solid action movie. Or basically, like, yeah, it's like
generic
action. Tom Cruise is awesome in everything in the movie.
No, it's like Tom Cruise knows exactly what he's doing. He's never, like, surprised.
Tom Cruise knows everything about everything. Like, crime scene analysis, and driving, and fighting, and shooting, and...
getting people to like him.
Yeah.
Like, which force to use first on a cruise ship?
Negotiating, like, like parsing through, like, real estate documents.
Like, it, not to spoil freaking Jack Reacher, but that movie was about real estate.
Yeah.
So.
Evil real estate people, though, Chris.
Yeah, surprisingly evil for little payoff. It was the most overcomplicated plot
this
to,
like,
buy land.
This unnamed villain from the gulags of Russia, like Siberia, comes and, like, starts buying up property in, like, major U.S. cities.
And he just really loves surrendering.
Yeah.
He has no problem chopping off fingers. He has no problem, like, threatening people. But it's like, I give up. I know what to do when I'm in trouble.
And then John McClane Jr. is his henchman.
Which, you know, he wasn't that bad as a henchman.
No, he was a good villain.
But, the movie was a little preachy. It's like, oh, I gotta do what's right for America.
Well, it's like, the DVD cover is like, it's basically like America starring Tom Cruise. So, moving on to other stuff coming out this week. Safe Haven is out this week. Which I know, because you and I talked about, like, the ridiculous twist ending of that movie.
Oh, God.
Which definitely you should go on. I think, I can't remember who posted, like, I think a bunch of sites posted, like, posted put up like I think it was like maybe like Film Drunk or someone put up like a there's just like an article about like everyone reacting to the ending. Like Chris,
one collective groan in the fucking theaters. I would have loved to like walk into every showing at the end, the last 20 minutes, of people just like scratching their head and going like, "What?"
Yeah, I don't think I wasn't ushering during that time, so I never got a chance to like walk in just hear like everyone be like, "What?"
Zach, you would have been a YouTube sensation if you just filmed everyone's reaction at the end.
Yeah.
Just like, it's pretty much just like, it's not Two Girls, One Cup reaction of like shock value, it's like, but it's still kind of like, yeah, just like the whole like, I watched this for an hour and this is the twist? Like, this is where it goes wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, just Google like Safe Haven twist and like find the article about that, but it's like, it's hilariously awful. We also have the fifth and final season of Fringe out this week, and you can also get the complete series as well. There's a pretty awesome show. Started out a little rough, but then it definitely, like, by the end of the first season, it was definitely, like, going off in, like, insane directions and just, like, upped itself every season of, like, alternate dimensions and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. So it's definitely worth checking out. We also have Mama out this week.
Mama.
This is night for Mama's Day.
Oh.
Mama's Day.
definitely a solid horror movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Ending is a little bizarre.
You could do without the last 20 minutes. But...
probably, yeah. I mean, there's enough for, like, creepy stuff to balance it out, though.
Yes.
Like,
oh,
really good creepy stuff.
Yes.
And also have Superman Unbound out this week, the latest from DC Animation. Superman versus Brainiac.
Again.
Ooh. This time.
I thought he fought Brainiac personal. In another movie.
Not a DC Animated movie, I don't think.
Really?
No, it's been like Lex Luthor, like Apocalypse. Or no,
I feel like he fought Brainiac with Supergirl.
That was Darkseid.
Because,
what the hell was the name of that one? Joe, what's the name of that one?
Which one?
Not the one where he teams up with Batman. No,
the one where Supergirl shows up?
Oh, Christ.
Was it Superman Apocalypse? I thought it was
Superman, Batman Apocalypse.
Yeah. I swore there was one where, like, Brainiac is there, and he's taking over like Supergirl, and Superman has to fight Brainiac.
That is this movie, Chris.
No, there's something else, man.
That is literally like Supergirl's in this movie, Brainiac is in this movie. Like, I don't know, maybe you just saw a trailer for this movie, Chris.
Like 2 years ago. I swore I could have said this, like, this is a movie that I seriously was like recalling. I'm like, this happened 2 years ago. Or whatever, like, apparently I had clairvoyant vision.
Yeah, you were, like, seeing into the future. But yeah, so that's out of the week. I'm sure it's going to be, like, all the DC anime movies are solid, so I'm sure that's going to be pretty awesome. Last season of 30 Rock is out this week, season 7. I don't know, I know, Chris, you watched 30 Rock. I never watched 30 Rock.
What?
The first, like, four seasons are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think they're awesome, and I think there are some great moments in the other seasons, but it got to be too much of a formula, you know what I mean? Maybe Chris, I don't know if you feel that way, but like,
I didn't finish the last season, so.
Oh, me either. I stopped. I did not buy into the hype. I didn't really care enough, but as soon as it's on Netflix, I'll watch.
Yeah, once on Netflix, I'll watch it, but I don't actually seek it out.
I'll give you an example. To see the third season before it was like streaming on Netflix or whatever, and because I didn't feel like buying it, I actively like went to like those TV sites that are like hosted out of like Russia via Mars, like just to watch, you know, a few episodes from that season because that's how good the show was. And at this point, I'm just like, I'll wait until it's like, you know, right in front of me, and all I have to do is hit like okay to open up Netflix, you know? Mm-hmm. Not worth the effort.
So, also, we have the fifth season of Flashpoint, which is a Canadian, like, action show about, like, this Canadian SWAT team.
Hmm.
Wasn't the Pink Ranger in that one?
Yep, she is.
Yep. Nice. My fucking girl.
Season 4 of Royal Pains out this week. And
is it the doctor show?
Yep.
Well, that's still on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We have Upstream Color, which is the latest movie from Shane Carruth, who did Primer.
Primer.
And apparently this is, like, apparently it's as crazy, but it's not like, no, it's like, not like, it's like about, like, relationships and stuff, but it's, like, really, like, there's, like, every person's description of it is, like, completely different of, like, what happened in it. So, like, there's no consensus, like, what actually this movie is, or, like, what it's about. And then we have K-9, the complete series, which is, I think it's old school Doctor Who. It's like Doctor Who's dog going on adventures.
You know what's cool, though? They milked the franchise, but they're able to come right back around.
Mm-hmm. And then last thing out this week is Food Fight, which is the most horribly commercialized ripoff of Toy Story you will ever, like, see. It's basically, in the supermarket, all the corporate logos come to life at night and then do stuff.
And they sing.
So it's like Twinkie the Kid and, I think, what's the Vlasic Pickle Pelican, like, Charlie, I think, or something? Or like,
oh, that's Vlasic.
Yeah, Charlie the Tuna. Like, all these, like, super, just like, it's just like all these corporations, like, paid, like, gave them a bunch of money to, like, make the most horrible movie ever made. There was an AV Club, My Year of Flops about it.
Holy crap, this came out in, like, 2007.
Yeah.
And now, like, it came on DVD?
It's like Charlie Sheen, Eva Longoria, Hilary Duff.
Charlie Sheen, Hilary Duff, Wayne Brady, Eva Longoria. Oh my god, it's like an all-star studded cast.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie, like, had no marketing.
And apparently Charlie Sheen is, like, this weird, like, Indiana Jones sort of dog character.
I kind of want to see this for the fact that I saw this. This movie only made almost $80,000. The budget, $65
million. Oh my god, yes.
It's barely a 90-minute movie, too.
Yeah.
And now that, and I tell these movies product placement, I'm looking at the cast. Holy shit.
Yeah, you should definitely, like, if you don't want, like, if you don't, like, experience the whole movie, which I'm sure no one does, that AV Club article is awesome. It has, like ridiculous clips and just, like, totally just rips it apart, like, next every part of it.
Oh my god. This movie was in production from 2003 till 2007. And then
there's, like, I think there's, like, an amazing press release from, like, the, they're talking about, like, the animation studio did it, and it's like, they're doing stuff that Pixar can only dream of.
No, this movie seriously was made in 2002, but they didn't get, they were going to release in 2003, and they pushed it to 2005, and then everyone who was involved with, like, the rights died. And then, and then it just sat on the shelf for, like, 6 years, kind of like Red Dawn did, where it sat on the shelf for like 4 years.
Yeah, it's,
oh,
like,
my god.
Food, here's from, like, the AV Club article. It's like, Food Fight asks a question even more idiotic and offensive than the ones posed by Mac and Me, Delgo, and Ookie Loves. Why can't a movie be a feature-length advertisement for every brand? Oh, and apparently the best, like, the thing about the movie too is, like, all the, like, super famous characters, like, you know, like Charlie Tuna and, like, Twinkie the Kid, they're, like, off on the sides, and they're not main characters. Like, the main characters are all these, like, super, super stupid made-up characters. So it's just, like, they're, like, randomly, like, you'll see, like, the Pillsbury Doughboy, and, like, for, like, 2 seconds on, like, the side of the screen, and, like... But, yeah, so anyway, it says, that's your new releases for the week. While we get into show and tell, and, Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so?
Well,
over the last week, obviously we all saw Iron Man 3.
Yep, and so actually, can, yeah, review cast up on the site, up right now. Don't go and download that.
Correct. So I'll just briefly touch on the fact that I enjoyed it, though it wasn't my favorite Marvel movie, and I had some grievances with it. And if you want to know what those are, download the review cast.
Or also read our written reviews and our Roundhouse review.
Yes, Roundhouse. But in addition to, you know, Shellhead 3, I also continued my Gentleman's Sunday tradition with another James Bond classic. This time, for those keeping count at home, those keeping score, I'm up to Goldfinger.
Yes.
I have seen Goldfinger before, obviously, but it was really great to see it in the context of the previous two films as well. And for my money, I would say Goldfinger is probably my favorite Connery 007 flick.
Yeah.
And I think that it's by far the most Bond-esque of the Bond movies with Connery, and especially until this point.
Yeah,
what I mean by that,
everything definitely got like cemented. Of like,
yes, the formula's there. Bond's like on a new level of suave. It's not as much sleuthing as it is like, oh, he's just the fucking man. Like it doesn't really matter what sort of situation you put him in. Like he's always like, even when he's like captured and the chips are down, he still like gets out and like spies
and,
on Goldfinger's meeting.
Like judo,
and he's like, look, yeah, he's like, oh, I'm a nuisance. They're like, Bond, what the fuck? Like, go back in your cell. Make me. Like, oh, okay. You're just gonna be a child. Like, you require constant supervision.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and for my money, I would say that the sort of, like, verbal jousting and that whole, like, showdown between Goldfinger and Bond, where they're on, like, the porch of his plantation, like...
Yeah.
Is just, like, one of the best dialogues in, like, any movie. I mean, it's just, like, so gentlemanly and so, like, heinous at the same time. I think it really encapsulates, like, really well the whole, like, appeal and charm of James Bond, you know? So I think that for anyone who, like, wants to get started and be like, hey, what's James Bond all about? Just show them that scene. You know,
mm-hmm.
Where he's like, my God, you're mad. How will you do it? Like, he's just like the ultimate, like, gentleman badass. So well done there. Loved Goldfinger. There's definitely a reason why it's so beloved. And, you know, I'm hoping that going forward, the formula is at least a little more like concrete, but, we will see. And I will be sure to report. Additionally, I also rewatched, don't ask me why, Seeking Justice, starring one Nicolas Cage, as it is now available on Netflix streaming. And, I have to say, it's bad, but, it's probably one of, I put it up there with Bad Lieutenant in terms of, like, good Nick Cage performances of the last, like, 10 years. Like, mm-hmm. I think that he did a fine job. It's just, like, inherently kind of cuckoo. You know, like, when he punches out that kid and, like, all that kind of weird shit is happening. And there's, like, Guy Pearce and a secret society of, like, wronged cuckolds and stuff like that. Like, it's just a little bit strange, to say the least.
The brown bunny jumps.
Yeah. Like, it was just a little too much at times. But overall, I mean, a solid performance from Nicolas Cage, and not a terrible movie either at the end of the day. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous, but it's certainly not his worst, and it's certainly not the worst thing on streaming. So if you haven't seen it, you know, it's a decent action movie. It's good for a few unintentional laughs. And if you're a huge, you know, lover of the Cage game, and you want to step into the proverbial cage and see our patron saint, or one of our patron saints, do his thing, definitely check out Seeking Justice. You'll never look at vending machines the same way again.
I think didn't it come to San Diego Stolen? So I think Stolen,
yes,
was like probably
within a few months of each other.
Like slightly better.
Yeah, it was a better movie, but I think Cage is better in Seeking Justice than he was in Stolen. Like, Stolen, I feel like it was just kind of, like, phoning it in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas, like, with Seeking Justice, it was a little more like, oh, I have to have a range of emotions and not just try to be Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
But I will say, Stolen, just to watch him running awkwardly along the tops of cars while, like, fucking Mardi Gras is happening.
Yeah.
Like, very bizarre.
They're both set in New Orleans.
I know. He's basically the same guy.
Yeah.
Like, you could make the conspiracy sort of argument.
Yeah.
They're one and the same.
I think it's Stolen, like, Josh Lucas, like, stole all of his, like, Nick Cage craziness.
Yes. Hands down.
Because he's, like, cracked out 80s metal pirate guy.
Yeah.
Like he was in some, like, horrible, like, 80s hair metal band and then, like, lost his leg and started doing cocaine. And now he's a cab driver.
Man, Josh Lucas, when he, like, has his big, like, crippling downfall, it just, like, keeps getting worse. Like, it's like, oh, I got shot. Oh, I got infected. I ripped out my nails.
And he's just, like, constantly, like, doing, like going on monologues about, like, how, like, New Orleans is, like, this, like, festering pile of crap. And, like that one guy, like, he killed that, like, frat guy. And, like, it's just, like, man, you know who fun New Orleans? Thieves and hookers and... Now they're all wondering.
Welcome, anyway. Welcome to New Orleans, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy your stay. See a show while you're in town.
All right, so what, anything else, Joe?
Yeah, how fucking amazing is Mad Men?
It is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, okay, I'll just leave it at that. But goddamn that show.
I love puppies.
Yeah. That's like the meme of the century now.
Yeah.
It's quite good. And it just is always raining shit on Pete, which is just great. Because fuck him.
Yep. So, Chris, anything, you watch anything over the last week or so?
Yeah. Me and Joe watched a movie called Silver Bullets.
Oh, fuck, how did I forget that?
Yeah, forget that? Yeah, so Silver Bullets...
Maybe I repressed it.
Silver Bullets is a Stephen King novelette about a crippled Corey Haim...
Okay.
...who deducts that there's a werewolf in his hometown that is just mauling the fuck out of people. And... His uncle is Gary Busey.
I'm on board.
A drunk Uncle Gary Busey, who honestly, like, from the cover, I was like, Gary Busey's the villain. But spoiler alert, he's not. Which makes this movie, like, four times great, because now I'm, like, really confused. Because, like, I was so sure Gary Busey's gonna be the villain. Then, like, halfway through, it's just like, nope, Gary Busey isn't the werewolf.
Oh, jeez.
So.
But he is a crazy drunken inventor.
Yeah, like, I actually thought he was going to be, like, some sort of, like, uncle figure that's kind of like an asshole that progressively gets worse, and then he's like, oh, by the way, he's also the werewolf. But, like, he got
maybe
more and more.
Maybe gets a little touchy after beer number four, you know?
Yeah, just kind of like, hey, kids, how old are you now?
Sit on Uncle Busey's lap. I'm your sister.
And, like, this is, I think, a year or two before Lethal Weapon came out, so it's kind of like, just, like, chunky Busey, just like... You don't know if he's, like, supposed to be a comedian or an action star yet. He's just kind of, like, Busey. Like, it's weird. But, yeah, like, the premise is way, way too weird to, like, comprehend. Because it's, like, this crippled kid who, like, has an overprotective sister for all, like... I don't know, like, you really don't know who the main hero is, either, because the kid's kind of an asshole, but then it's kind of like, you have to root for him, because the movie focuses so much on this kid. And the werewolf kills, like, the village, like, the townspeople, who are just, like, mob mentality at the drop of a hat. Like, these are... What happens is, like, first, a random town drunk train conductor trains, like, groundskeeper. I don't know what the guy's job was, but...
He's like a maintenance worker.
Maintenance worker. Yeah. Just gets killed. And then people are just like, well, that was weird. And they don't say anything. Then, like, the next day, like, was it a kid that got killed or some girl got... No, some girl found out she was pregnant. and then she was about to kill herself. And then out of nowhere, a werewolf shows up and just kills her. Like, it's funny because she's like, oh, I'm pregnant. And, like, it's, like, her boyfriend's baby. And he's kind of like, I don't want any of this. And she's like, okay. Then it moves to a scene where, like, it's at night. And this girl just pulls out a bottle of just unknown pills, lays it out on a plate, and starts eating one by one. But, like, comically eating a pill one by one. Like, she takes one, says something about misery about her life, and, like, eats a pill and drinks some water. Takes another pill, puts her mouth, says something about her life, and drinks some water. Like, it's just like, okay, like, where's this going? Is she going to be the werewolf? I don't know who the fuck the werewolf is.
Yeah, pregnant suicide is rarely funny, but this was pretty...
Yeah,
pretty,
like,
hysterical.
It's pretty weird when it's like, wow, she's pregnant, and she's psychotic and suicidal? Okay, let's see where this goes. Like, Stephen
That's
King...
That's a double whammy.
Stephen King, you're a master of horror. Let's see what happens here. Yeah, like, just to speed things up, like, the kid gets progressively more, like, geared up for werewolf, like, killing, because his uncle tricks out his wheelchair. His uncle gives him, like, oh my god, like, his uncle basically gives him, like, a mini bike wheelchair, which, in theory, should be really badass, but, like, it's still a wheelchair at the end of the day.
It makes him seem more crippled than if he was just in a wheelchair. They're like, hey, here's a special car / rocket booster for you. Because, you know, you're not like one of us regulars.
Is there like a gearing up montage?
No, believe it or not. There's no montage, but like a montage would have arguably been better.
Yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be a horror movie, but because halfway through the movie, you kind of just like get thrown in your face that basically like this one guy is the werewolf.
Yeah, like the mystery just kind of stops and you're like, well... Okay, how are you going to solve this?
And then it gets, like, to the point, oh my god, like, so, not to spoiling dramatic and speed this up, but, yeah, like, as soon as the, like, brother or sister combo figure out that this one person is the werewolf, they harass him. Like, they send him letters. Like, you should, they send him, like, weird fucking letters, like, you should kill yourself. Like, I know who you are, I know what you did, you should die. Like, it's...
Yeah, this little cripple kid sends him, like, a fucking Riddler ransom letter that's, like, cut out letters from, like, magazines.
Magazines.
That's like, I know who you are. I know your secret. You should kill yourself. That's, like, verbatim what it says. And that's it. That's the letter.
I mean, Joe Rewind thinks is, we weren't paying attention, and then I heard that, and I was like, no, wait, did the fucking kid just write a threatening letter? Like, okay. We watch the scene again, and it's like, yeah. Holy shit, he's cutting out magazine letters and, like, words, the paste on a freaking, like, piece of paper to spell out a cryptic message.
Yeah.
And, oh my god. Like, I mean, like, let's skip ahead, like, there really is no closure. It's just, like, a family killed a man. Like, to boil it down, like, yes, they found out who the werewolf was, but technically the family killed it. Like everyone involved, like, kind of teamed up and killed this one person. And a very not graceful, like, Home Alone trap. It was kind of just like, oh, there's a werewolf, and they just killed him. So, I can see why this is, like, a really obscure Stephen King classic, if you can call it that. It's just kind of like, we just heard Gary Busey, Corey Haim, Corey Haim's a crippled. Okay, why are we not watching this yet?
Yeah.
So.
Have you guys seen Maneater with Gary Busey?
Is that the one where he fights a werewolf? He fights a wolf or
a tiger.
A
tiger on the loose, like a circus tiger that gets like, they're like transporting this tiger to a circus and the truck crashes and the tiger gets loose. And there's like a little kid who's like possibly psychic connected to the tiger, or just like the tiger like doesn't eat the kid for some reason, or like the kid's sleepwalking and like communicating with the tiger. And Garby's like this super like southern small town sheriff like trying to like kill the tiger.
I think there should be a category of movies where it's Gary Busey and, like, nature. There's nature.
It should be a category.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard of this movie, but he didn't fight... He fought a bear in the version I'm thinking
of. It was on Netflix. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore.
Well, they replaced it with Silver Bullets. Oh, by the way, Silver Bullets becomes a two-way pun because, one, they use it to kill a werewolf, and two, he names his fucking wheelchair... after Silver Bullets.
I was gonna say, does Gary Busey drink a lot of Coors Light?
No, he drinks a shitload of Wild Turkey. Like,
yeah,
whiskey.
Like,
just
buy
like,
the bottle.
Bottle. Just like, hey, I made you this bike. Let's call it Silver Bullet. It'd be awesome. I love you, little nephew. Like, it's like, it's funny because it's like he's so disheveled drunk, but like he's very encouraging for like a drunk uncle. It's not like, hey, let me touch you. It's kind of like, I love you. Don't take crap for anyone. Like, oh, thanks, uncle. Like, Gary Busey's pretty badass in that sense.
Oh, man. So, anything else, Chris?
I watched Shame with Michael Fassbender.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't really have much to say besides, like, it's just weird.
It's weird.
Like, it's one of those movies where, like, you could say you watched it, but you didn't learn anything from it. Like, no one walks
now
away
you,
happy.
Now you can be, like, a hipster Michael Fassbender fan and be like, oh, did you guys see Shame? Oh, okay, then you don't really know who Michael Fassbender is.
No, but yeah, you didn't know Michael Fassbender until you watched him get, like, a blowjob by a man. Like, yeah.
No, I didn't see Prometheus. I thought it was shallow and pedantic.
Like, this movie was like, I got the themes really fucking fast, knowing that this dude is a sex addict, and like, it's very artsy too. This movie is over the top artsy for what it's not supposed to be. Like, it's about just like someone with a sex addict problem, but then it comes like deeper where it's like the dude wants to fuck. He wants to fuck his own sister. I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know that was part of the theme, too. I was like, what?
So... I also heard that it's, like, this weird, like, he never gets in trouble for anything. Like, he overloads
he
and crashes.
Yeah.
He crashes the computer at work by, like, overloading with, like, porn and viruses. Porn. And then
right.
Busts, like, and, well, whatever, yeah. We'll get you a new computer, I guess.
The tone of this movie could have been a comedy about a sex addict that is, like, constantly putting himself into trouble. And there's always, like, the universe, like, correcting it.
Yeah, it's like... Like, we're talking about, like, Nicolas Cage, like, Bad Lieutenant, like, the end of Bad Lieutenant, where, like, everything just works out perfectly.
Right. Yes. That's exactly how this movie works out.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, but at least Bad Lieutenant, you kind of knew it was going to be that way. Like, based even off the first Bad Lieutenant. But this movie was, like, I feel like I'm watching kind of, like, Drive. Like, it was so, like, so many weird shots.
Yeah, like,
the music, it was art, like,
driving
indie,
at night with, like, lights playing across people's faces and like
right yeah, and that's what this was, a shitload of that. This movie could have been an hour long, but it was like an hour and a half, and half most, you know, like it could have been maybe less than an hour, like half an hour, just like, hey, I'm a sex addict,
short
by
film.
The way, yeah, it could have been a short film and it would have been great, but the fact that's like he keeps getting to like weirder and weirder situations with ladies or just like sex people, like The best part was when he went, this part where Michael Fassbender is like trying to find a hookup to get his dick wet, and he just goes to a gay bar knowing that like he's eye candy for like gay men, and he's just like, yeah, what's it suck my dick? Like, it's just kind of like, that's how it ends up like being. And I'm like, whoa, fuck, like, you didn't have to do this. So, the movie escalates to the part, it escalates to like, the chick from Great Gatsby, what's her name? And she was in Drive, too. Yeah, she's in this as, like, his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they look nothing alike. So it's kind of like, okay, like, just buy your sister, man, and, like, get it over with. But they don't. And I'm like, god damn it. Like, I don't condone incest, but I'm like, at least let's move the fucking plot.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, it's a weird combo, because, like, I watched this, like, right after I got home from Silver Bullets. So I was like, oh, it's on TV. Shame. Okay, whatever. I just watched Gary Busey, like, upgrade a crippled kid, so.
So, anything else, Chris?
No, that's it. Besides Iron Man 3,
mm-hmm.
which we talked about.
Yep. So, I watched a couple things this week. I watched Seven.
Classic.
Because, Hannibal of the show has been, like, I've just been on this weird, like, serial killer movie thing of like, I watched all the Hannibal movies and I watched Seven. Yeah, it's definitely a classic. I think it's not, it's like, I think when the first time you watch it, it's amazing because especially if you don't know the plot, which I don't know, or like twist, which I don't know how anyone at this point doesn't know the twist of that movie, but if somehow you haven't been spoiled, I'd say go watch Seven right now and then come back. Or just go watch it because, like, the first time you see it, like, not knowing the twist, I think it's, like, it's amazing. And then, like, after that, it's sort of, it's still super good. It's just, like, not as awesome as the first time. Because, like, kind of loses, like, a lot, some of its punch. Yeah, still like super like all the, like the settings and everything. It's like it's just super like grimy and depressing. Like the entire movie, it's always raining. Kevin Spacey, like probably his creepiest role ever as John Doe.
But I did love that you didn't know he was in it at all. Like,
yeah, he's
nowhere on the credits.
He only shows up in like the last 30 minutes.
But even on the poster and on the credits, he's not featured.
Nope. I think the like because like the first credit is like Kevin Spacey as John Doe. Like when they do like the end credits.
Yeah, end credits.
It's when we finally see like his name and everything.
Yep. Yep.
Apparently, like I think it was like a crack out of the screen. Like apparently, like there's like so much just like ridiculous like background work that like. You know, like, the like title sequence is, like, just, like, reading, like, John Doe's ridiculous, like, book that he made of, like, all his, like, plans and everything. Apparently, it was, like, they made, like, his, like, 100-page, like, super in-depth, like, it made, like, volumes and volumes and volumes of books with, like, tons of stuff in them for, like, no reason. Like, no one, like, they would never be, like, no one would ever see what was inside them, but, like, they just made, like, these, like, ridiculous, like, serial killer books. I think it was like the crack was like it was like 5 or 7 movies that like had like ridiculous work no one saw.
Right, it's very detailed for what it shouldn't have. It didn't have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, really good movie. Definitely go check it out if you haven't seen it. And then I watched two really similar things. I watched Manborg, which is this ridiculous movie that came out on DVD last week. I think it came out like last year or something, or they made it last year. But it's this really super indie, like, parody of, like, super cheesy 80s movies, like, 80s sci-fi movies. Actually, it kind of felt, like, the whole time I was watching it, I kind of felt like it was like a, like, it would be like an Adult Swim show, like one of those weird, like, live-action Adult Swim shows, like, Saul the Mole Man or something. Because, like, it's all shot in, like, super cheesy green screen, and it's, like, it feels cheap, but it's, like, really, like, but it's still, like, really, like, funny. And basically what it is like, there was, scientists opened, like, this, like, dimension to hell, and, like, this evil hell general came and, like, brought all these, like, demons to Earth and, like, took over Earth. And there's this soldier who got killed, and, like, they brought him back as, like, Manborg. It's, like, half man, half cyborg. And, now he like joins up with like these like you're like the demons having like these like weird like gladiator battles now and stuff, so like, he joins up with like, these like people who are like going to be put in like this arena, and it's like for no reason there's like this like Australian guy who's like clearly dubbed over, which is like this like, weird like horrible Australian voice, and there's like a martial arts guy who looks like Liu Kang and like has like super dubbed over, like clearly he's not saying anything he's saying, and then like there's like random girl and like Manborg, and like Manborg is like he talks like super loud and like super with like no emotions. He's like, I want to join you guys. Like the whole like, it's like that Will Ferrell sketch from SNL where like he can't regulate the sound of his voice. So even like when they're like principally they're trying to like super stealthy, he's just like, hey guys, what's going on? Who's that? So it's like the whole movie. And it was like, so it's super, it's like super cheesy, super weird.
Well, I just never heard of this movie.
Until
it came out like to light since Blood Dragon. So
yeah, I mean they came out the same week, and then that's the other thing I was gonna talk about a little bit. But yeah, it's if it comes on like Netflix or something, I'd say definitely check it out because it's like super weird and like, but it's like super, it's like a really like funny like parody of like all that stuff. And actually. It was kind of like a trauma movie too. Like especially like they did like this at the end after the credits, they did like this like fake trailer for like another movie that like this like fake VHS company was doing, and it was like BioCop, and it was just like this cop who's just like constantly like decomposing, and like they like somehow he got brought back to life, but he's like constantly like decomposing, just like yelling for people to like murder him. He's like, kill me! It's like, come on, BioCop, we got a job to do. He's got this like super like cliche like black partner with him. It's like they're doing super like cliche cop like buddy cop like Lethal Weapon stuff. But it's just like he's just this constantly default like this constantly like decomposing monster, just like yelling, trying to like, kill himself at every time. Which I kind of wish like that movie like was, that seemed like a even like crazier idea than like Manborg, because like that seemed like a grindhouse ridiculous movie.
That's cool.
I kind of think Manborg, it might have been better if it was just like I don't know if they made like a trailer first or sort of like to like test it, but like I think it might have been better as like a 5 minute like fake trailer, maybe, because like the BioCop stuff was like that was like hilarious. That was like maybe better than Manborg itself.
Okay, well,
yeah,
I gotta see the trailers.
Yeah, if it comes out, like. I think definitely check out the trailer for Manborg and see if like if you're like if it seems like something you'd be like into. It's definitely like you have to have like a be ready for like a weird like Adult Swim style of like weirdness. And then yeah, last thing I did, I played and beat Blood Dragon for Far Cry 3, and that is amazing. Like if you're listening to this podcast, you should definitely just go out and get Blood Dragon on whatever console you need to get it on, because it's like it's pretty much everything that we love in a game of like 80s. It's just full every single thing in that game is like a reference to like an 80s action movie or like 80s. Like it's all RoboCop and Terminator, and there's like, but then also like there's like No Retreat, No Surrender, and like Miami Connection, and like a bunch of other like weird 80s movies like just thrown into there. And yeah, your character. So you're playing as Rex Power Cult, and Power's not his nickname; it's just like his middle name. So his full name is Rex Power Cult. He's a Mark IV Cyber Commando, who's like, he's a Vietnam War II veteran who gets rebuilt as a Cyber Commando.
Vietnam War II.
Yeah, that was fought in the far off future of 2007. And so he gets sent to this island that's taken over by his former commanding officer, General Sloan, who's trying to like take the blood dragons that live on this island and like turn their blood into like this weird like bioweapon. It's launching at all the countries of the Earth. And so you have to like go and stop him and like his like Omega Squad soldiers. And also all the enemies talk like the weird 80s robots of like, get the humanoid, get the humanoid. And all the you guys play Far Cry 3?
No.
No.
Okay, so like one of the things that like when that game was like you were hunting animals all over, like there was like, I don't know, like 30 different kinds of animals you could hunt down. So in Blood Dragon, all the animals are like cyborg animals now, or like techno. There's like cyber lions and like cyber sharks and like ridiculous like mutated goats and like zombie ospreys and like all these like ridiculous animals that you can go kill. And yeah, you're just running around like, I think it's like maybe like 4 or 5 like actual like story missions, but then you can like just go around like take over like these bases. But yeah, it's told like all the stories told like these like sort of like NES style like cutscenes, or like these like old school cutscenes. And it's like the opening is like you're in a helicopter and like you and your friends, your partner Spider, who's like this like super like cliche black guy, and you do the Predator handshake and like jump out of the helicopter. And then it's just like, it's full of just like tons of like Michael Biehn one-liners. Cause like you hear just voice of Michael Biehn and it's like running around being like, he gave me 5 fingers. I gave him 5 back or something. Or like, I just want to fucking kill stuff.
Nice. What's really sad is that this is probably way better voice acting than he did than Aliens.
Oh,
Colonial,
yeah.
Marines, like.
He was, like, I'm sure he was just, like, could not give less of a shit about that. I'm sure he probably did, like, 5 years ago or something. And
just sitting in a vault.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, they used it.
Yeah, this is great. Like, he's constantly, like, arguing with, like, his, like, he has, like, because, like, HUD, who's, like, his, like, AI that he has with him, he's just constantly, like, yelling at her. Because, like, they do, like, this thing, like, you have to go through the tutorial. It's just, like, I don't want to do the tutorial. It's just like the tutorial just keeps going and going and going, like here's how you jump. You have to like do jump. here's how you move. Moving is like walking. This is a super condescending, like, tutorial, and it's just like, I just want to fucking kill stuff. And then, like, the last, like, 20 minutes of the game is, like, just, like, super condensed, like, the last, like, half of, like, an 80s movie. There is, like, a montage and a super awkward sex scene, and, like, you get powered
super
up.
Super awkward sex scene.
Yes. Set to, like, super, like, synthy saxophone, like, 80s style, like...
That's how I like it.
The whole soundtrack is, like all, like, synth, like, Terminator style.
Awesome.
And actually, I think the group was... It's Power Glove, but it's not Power Glove, like, the, awesome, like, metal band. It's, like, Power Glove, the weird, like, English or, like, European, like, electronic group.
Yeah, fuck those guys. We're all about the real Power Glove here.
It would have been amazing if they actually did, like, if the actual Power Glove did, like... They like the score. It's just like all like weird like 80s cover, metal covers or something.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, there's like a part where like it's like a turns like this like super old school like Serious Sam or like Painkiller style game, and then you get like this like ultra weapon called the Kill Star. It's just everything in the game is ridiculous and awesome. So it's definitely like if you 360 or PC or PS3. Definitely go out and get it. It's like $15, and it's it's an awesome game. Even so, on top of like all the like ridiculous 80s action stuff, it's like super solid, awesome shooter too. So definitely cool. Check that out. And I think it's all I've been doing for this week. So anything else you guys can think of before we wrap this thing up?
Not really.
Good.
Yeah. Alrighty. So, if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for, news and reviews and trailers and all sorts of stuff. Like we said before, Iron Man 3, written review, Roundhouse review is up, as well as our review cast, so definitely check out both of those. And, you can also check out the trailers for the World's End and Ender's Game trailers we talked about this episode, and a bunch of all of the other stuff we talked about. You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/everything.action. You can find us on Tumblr by going to everythingaction.tumblr.com. You can find us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/evaction. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. You can find us on iTunes by going to the iTunes News Store. Searching for Everything Action, you can subscribe to the podcast under, rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. And you can also get us on Stitcher.com. You can search for Everything Action and stream us on there. You can also download episodes of the podcast from there. You can also get an app. They have an app for pretty much anything, so you can just get the app and stream us from that if you want. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.